Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Episode 109, CJ Evolution. Patrick here. Whatever you were doing, wherever you were at, thank you for tuning in today. We have special guest Kim Addison. If you don't know who Kim is, she is recognized as one of North America's foremost experts on performance through thought mastery, and she's going to talk about that. Using her unique philosophy and quirky coaching style, Kim helps her clients shift their thinking in order to yield extraordinary results in personal transformation. A very good interview. I hope you enjoy, folks. Very applicable to us who work in the criminal justice field. Here she is, the one, the only, Kim Addis. Enjoy.
Thank you so much. I'm really looking forward to this chat.
Well, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself? I kind of, covered a little bit, but what got you into doing what you were doing? I mean, I think it's amazing.
Well, what do? Is I coach, let's call it the highly driven population. I coach entrepreneurs, professionals, and executives. And what I do is I look at their thinking and how their thinking impacts their outcomes. So I run this company called Frame of Mind Coaching. And, you know, the orientation of Frame of Mind Coaching is based on the premise that your thinking is really the single greatest influencer on your outcomes or your results. Mm-hmm. So how did I get there? You know, I used to own a software company years ago, and that software company, what we did was we built simulation-based assessments, and the purpose of those assessments was to help companies make better hiring decisions. So we tested really hundreds of thousands of people to figure out who would be the best performer in any given field, in any given industry, in any given position. And there was something interesting that we discovered, and that was didn't matter who we tested or what we were testing them for, but there was one key characteristic that kept surfacing as a key indicator of top performance, and that was emotional resilience. Mm-hmm. So, what's that? If a person is able to bounce back from some type of adversity with greater speed and agility and leverage the adversity, those people have a high degree of emotional resilience. And so that ideology kept popping up over and over and over again with every person we tested. And I thought to myself, imagine if we could help people build their emotional resilience, then what would happen? Mm-hmm. Then we would help them succeed. We would help them reach their goals. We would help them be top performers.
And I've always thought, and I've said this many times, and Kim, you probably know this, that, you know, we are what we think. If we think doom and gloom, then usually that's what we're going to get, right? If we think positive thoughts, if we think that we can succeed and we can get through it, the mind is very powerful.
It is very powerful. I agree with you, except that that's a very simplistic idea, right?
Oh, sure,
like, let's
sure.
just think positively. It's not mm-hmm. always that easy.
Sure.
And the question is, why isn't it easy? Where does the difficulty or the struggle come from? You know, we always hear the expression easier said than done. So mm-hmm. why isn't it easy just to think positively?
Well, yeah. I think, me personally, I think it's who we surround ourselves with. I think we're the average, you know, and it's not me who coined this phrase, I can't remember who did, but we're the average of the, you know, five people that we hang out with.
Right. So yeah, we're influenced by the people we hang out with, but it's more than that, even more mm-hmm. than that. Right. So as I grew up, we were influenced by the beliefs and the values and the perspectives of our parents. Mm-hmm. We may not hang out with them anymore, but they still have an influence over us. We're influenced by our environment, you know, even if it's not the people we hang out with, but what we see on TV, by the news, by the people we work with, by our past experiences, by our past failures, right? All those things come together to form a set of beliefs. Mm-hmm. And those beliefs are what make it difficult for us to lean on the positive side of life sometimes.
Now, how do you crack that, though, Kim? I mean, so you have people, I mean, I'm sure their ages range all over the place, but say you have, you know, I'm a middle-aged guy and I'm kind of set in my ways. And I mean, how do you change that? I mean, because I think it gets older or difficult, more difficult as we get older, right?
Yeah. So one of the things that we do when we coach people is, you know, we coach people for a minimum of 6 months, but the first 10 weeks are really foundational. So what happens in those first 10 weeks is there's a call every week. And the first thing we do is we record all the calls. And the purpose of recording the calls is to get our clients to listen to themselves. And mm-hmm. what I'm trying to do is have them become observers of their own thinking. So what are they listening for? Their stories, their words, their emotional state, their patterns of belief. So they start to become familiar with, you know, their set in ways. And more importantly, how their set in ways don't necessarily get them the objectives they're looking to achieve. Right? So we're really shining a light on how their thinking is holding them back. The second thing we do is we ask our clients to journal in an online journal every single day for those 10 weeks. And every time they journal, their coach receives the journal and responds to the journal. So they're in contact with their coach every single day. And the purpose of that is really to dig deep and look at the values, the perspectives, the beliefs, the stories they come up with in order for us to understand this very important connection between thoughts and outcomes. And so at the end of the day, what we do is we say, hey, this is a belief that you have. We see it here, 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 and here. That belief doesn't get you what you want. Maybe
I really
we need
like,
to look at it.
And yeah. I really like that you have them write it, you know, journal it. And I also really like the fact that you have them listen to it. Because I know there are times where maybe, at least in my experience, I personally have, maybe I'm saying things and I don't realize I'm saying it until I listen to it.
That's right. Teenagers, I have five, well, they're older than that slightly. Like, I have five kids, right? The youngest is 17 and the oldest is 23.
Oh, you sound like my family.
Says, right? One of them says the word like every 2 seconds. And he doesn't believe me.
So you record him.
If I could record him and he could listen and he could count all those likes, that's the same thing, right? You're paying attention to how you show up.
What are the biggest things? I mean, maybe this is too broad of a question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. So what are the biggest things that your clients struggle with? You know,
Yeah, I mean, typically they are people who struggle with others. They struggle with how other people show up, how other people are committed, how other people perform. They have conflict with others, but they also have conflict with themselves. So sometimes they feel self-doubt. Sometimes they feel like they have to carry all of the responsibility on their shoulders and there's nobody there to help them out. Sometimes they feel like, you know, they are imposters and they're pretending to play this role that they're completely ill-equipped for. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they feel a sense of just, you know, friction with the world. The world isn't going my way. I can't seem to achieve this goal and I don't know what's getting in my way, and so on. So I work with these high achievers who have really big dreams, who are typically very good people. They want to make a positive difference in the world. They're people who want the best things in life. They, you know, they're big livers, except that something is stopping them and they feel stressed out, overwhelmed, exhausted, frustrated, and, you know, they don't know which way to turn.
And usually it's themselves that are blocking themselves from achieving, correct?
Well, at the end of the day, it's themselves, but at face value, it appears like the world is at odds with them.
Sure. So my listeners probably, some of them I know for a fact because I've talked to them, they let me give you two examples. They struggle with direction. I mean, how would you teach them or coach them?
Like they don't know which direction.
Yeah, they don't know what, I mean, in their life. I mean, you kind of hit on a little bit, but can you expand on a little bit more about direction in their life? I mean, how do they get to that next level?
Well, it's interesting, right? Because I have found that a lot of people look outside of themselves for direction. Mm-hmm. And there's nobody going to tell you which way to go, right?
Well, I think I think a lot of people will, because, you know, in my experience, I mean, you people always want to kind of tell you what you should be doing.
Well, that's exactly right. People tell you what you should be doing. So for me, what I do with my clients is I help them really tune in to what they want. And when you're clear about what you want and you're clear about what your values are and you connect those two together, direction becomes easy to find. Without tuning into the influences of other people, specifically when those influences contradict your values and your desires.
And I really like what you said about journaling, because I think there is a huge amount of benefit in journaling and writing down your thoughts. I mean, I know I do it every day. Well, not every day. I try to do it, but I usually get up early in the morning and meditate and then start, you know, doing a little journal. You know, what are my goals for the day? You know, what's kind of holding me back and et cetera.
Well, so journaling on your own is huge. It's so important. And when you journal with a coach, it's a game changer. Why? Because the coach can read and see through the things that you don't necessarily see. They pick up the patterns from journal to journal to journal to journal. They see how you operate in all the different realms of your life that you're reporting in your journal. And so, you know, the way that you lead your organization will be influenced by the way you were parented as a child, and so on. And so your coach can dig deep and drill down to core beliefs that are severely holding you in a spot that you don't want to be in.
And one of the reasons why I really wanted to bring you on, Kim, because for those listeners out there, this applies to everybody, and not just people that are working in the private sector. I'm talking to people that work in the public sector, i.e. police officers, whatever you're doing in the criminal justice field. This is so important that we kind of heed the advice of Kim. Kim, can you give me an example of a client that you've helped?
Oh, gosh, I have so many clients. I'll give you a perfect example. One of my clients, he is an entrepreneur, and he runs a cement manufacturing company, very successful, a big, huge, burly man, and he has two children. And when I met him, actually, I met him while I was doing a presentation for a business group of his on the West Coast. And he approached me after the presentation. He said to me, "I'd like to talk to you about coaching." I said, "Sure. You know, what do you think you're grappling with?" He said, "I have rage issues. I'm a rager." And man, he's a big guy, and I'm like, "Oh, what am I getting myself into?"
Right? Don't rage on me.
I said, "Well, what does that look like? What do you mean you rage?" He said, "Well, when I get mad," he's like, "I yell, I storm, I throw things. I don't hurt anybody, but I break things, and I get really upset." And I said, "Wow, you know, that's a big deal. Is that induced by stress? Like, what's going on here?" He said, "I just, you know, things bother me." And as we drill down into what was going on, like, if his kids didn't behave, he'd get upset. If he felt his wife was not listening, or if he felt his wife was, quote unquote, disrespecting him, he felt offended. And so he spent a lot of his life feeling offended by the actions and opinions and behaviors of others. And what we did is we quickly helped him realize that his feeling offended had nothing to do with what anybody else was doing. And helped him understand that his feeling offended had everything to do with his perception and his interpretation of what everybody else was doing, and that his rage really reflected and represented him really poorly, and that that's not the kind of behavior he actually wanted to teach his children. Yeah. And so we, you know, I didn't have to make him report to me, right? I didn't say, "Okay, today you're not going to rage and I'm going to hold you accountable." That wasn't what happened at all. I just helped him understand that he had a certain set of goals, and his thinking about those goals, the way he was thinking about it, wasn't getting him what he wanted. And all I had to do is help him shift his thinking, and his behavior automatically and naturally changed.
And his family probably loved that.
Oh, his kids and his relationship with his kids, it was a game changer.
Yeah.
Now, I know that, you know, a lot of your listeners are in highly stressful situations, right? And so the question is, how do you deal with anger? How do you deal with conflict? How do you deal with that incredible amount of stress? What do you do?
Are you asking me, or are you just doing it?
Sure. I'm asking you on behalf of all your listeners.
Well, you know, that's a great question. And you know, I've learned to not bring work home with me.
Okay.
You know, I worked the street for many years, and I'm kind of in a different role now. But when I was on the street, I mean, it's very, you know, stressful, you know, a lot of, you know, near misses and really, you know, stressful life and death kind of stuff. So, I mean, yeah, it gets to you. But and it helps if you're in a different role, and I'm in a different role right now, but what really helped was kind of letting go at the door when I came in. And of course, having that network, having that support system of my wife and my kids. And to me, Kim, I mean, the biggest thing for me was learning how to communicate better. Because I think law enforcement, not everybody out there, a lot of first responders, they tend to internalize a lot and they don't let it go. And it really helped me to, and I don't mean indifferent and not care, but I, not speaking about it and internalizing it until it gets to a point where it just it blows up.
So who did you speak to?
Well, who did I speak to?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it just, it would really help me, and that's a great question, was I started filling my body, start working out more, improving better physically, started reading, positive and better things, and Tim Ferriss and some other things, Lewis House, I'm huge fans of them, Tony Robbins, I love him. So I really meditate, and that really helped me, and of course my wife, I mean, and my kids. And I saw, and everybody's different, and I know that, but that really helped me. I didn't seek any counseling or anything, but it just kind of, what helped me too is, like I said, I'm in a different role right now, so I changed my view. I'm not on the street anymore, and I'm not saying, for those of you out there working the road and working as a uniformed police officer, thank you for what you're doing. I'm just saying, for me, I was just getting stressed out and burned out, and so I needed to change.
And let's talk about that for a minute, the whole concept of internalization, right? So you have this stress, let's call it stress on the street, and then you hold it in. And maybe you go home and you're still holding it in, right? You're not letting it out. And so what causes you to hold it in? There's a belief, right? And that belief could be, hey, I don't need to give other people my problems or my headaches. It could be, I'm supposed to be tough. I'm a police officer. I've got to be able to handle this. It's my job. And if I can't handle that, then maybe I'm not as strong as I need to be here. And that creates a whole bunch of self-doubt, right? And on and on and on. And so the beliefs that you have will determine what you do to cope, right? And so what I'm really trying to say is your beliefs run your life, and your beliefs will ultimately determine your behaviors. So when you say I communicated, communication is at the end of the process. First, you think, hey, I can communicate, I can share, I can let this go, I can speak about this. I'm allowed to do that. It's okay. It doesn't mean anything negative about me. So I have those beliefs, and then I communicate.
Yeah, you're
But
exactly
if you
right.
Right? But if my beliefs were different, then I'd still hold it in. And so beliefs precede behavior.
Exactly right. And yeah, when you were talking and saying that, you're exactly right, because it all has to start with belief. If I didn't believe that, or if people out there that are thinking about this, if you don't believe that you can change and improve your behavior or improve your outlook, then it's nothing's going to happen. I agree with you. It has to start with belief.
Correct. And a lot of times we think, well, you know what? We just have to change what we do. Like, let's take weight loss as an example. I don't know. Maybe some of your listeners struggle with weight loss. Who knows, right? I don't know. But how many times do we try to go on a diet and we say, okay, here are the things we're going to do. We're going to go to the gym 3 days or 5 days a week. We're going to eat X, Y, and Z or not eat X, Y, and Z, right? We're going to do all these things. It's a doing exercise, and we do it for a period of time, and then we fall off. We fall off the wagon. And so why do we do that? Because our thinking hasn't caught up to speed with the doing plan. And so it's kind of like going to a dog and saying, hey, dog, you know what? I want the dog to wag his tail, so I'm going to take the tail and shake it. No, that's not how a dog wags his tail, right? That's just not how it works. And so what has to happen is our brain has to agree. Our brain has to click into place. Our belief system has to click into place first. And when that happens, behaviors naturally follow.
Now, why does somebody need a coach, Kim?
Well, sometimes a person needs a coach to help them cope with a difficult situation or circumstance or a series of difficult situations or circumstances, whether it's I'm stressed out and I want to leave my job, or I'm stressed out and I'm afraid to leave my job, or I'm stressed out and I want to stay and I don't know how to do both. Right? So it's to cope with something difficult. That's one reason that somebody may hire a coach. It could be I'm, having terrible conflict with my spouse, or you know what, my kids are driving me crazy and they're out of control and I don't know how to rein them in. Could be anything. Or it could be an entrepreneur who says, I have a business partner and all we do is fight. So it could be any situation like that. On the flip side of it could be, I really want to reach a goal and it's elusive to me. I can't seem to get there. That's another reason why someone would hire a coach.
So
They
I'm
say,
oh, go
I
ahead.
want to
I'm
live,
sorry.
I want to live this great life. I had this vision, but I can't do it by myself. I need help.
So I was going to say, I imagine you have people that are pretty, not just are dealing with serious stuff, which is important, but I imagine you've had people that are pretty successful. They just want to reach that higher level, right?
Yes, I have a lot of people who are extremely successful, and then when it comes to that next level, they struggle. It's like there's this invisible ceiling that prevents them from getting there.
And age doesn't matter, Kim. It could be
No.
you, it could be any age, right?
No, I'm working with people who are in their late 20s, and my oldest client was 77.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Now, how is frame of mind coaching different from other coaching programs? Because we've all seen just a ton of coaching programs out there.
Yeah, well, for starters, the orientation, right? So we're focused on thoughts rather than behaviors. It's not about holding somebody accountable and creating a plan and making sure they do all the things they need to do in order to achieve their goals. It's really about understanding how a person thinks and how their thinking leads to the outcomes they are experiencing. So that's number one. It's about thoughts. Secondly, the process. This whole idea of journaling, this whole idea of asking a certain set of questions so that we can really shed light on a person's thought patterns, their beliefs, their values, and their perspectives. That's another way of identifying how frame of mind coaching is different. And the third is our coaches. We have a team of coaches. All of them were clients before. So they went through coaching. They said, holy Moses, I'm missing a word. I was stuck there for a second. I say, holy Moses, that was amazing. How do I become a coach? And then we put them through fairly rigorous training. It takes at least a year to get certified as one of our coaches. And so we deliver just outstanding coaching consistently. And all that makes us different.
Well, Kim, if people out there, listeners, and I'm sure people will reach out to you after they listen to this episode, if they want to get a hold of you, how do they do so?
Best way to do that is go to frameofmindcoaching.com. And for those of you who are listening, there's an opportunity that I would not pass up, which is that on that website, on frameofmindcoaching.com, is a complimentary frame of mind assessment. And what is that? It allows you to take a snapshot of what's going on for you right here, right now. So a lot of times people want to change, they want to get somewhere, they want to do something, but they don't know what their starting point is. And there's no more important action to take than to figure out where am I right now and what do I need to do in order to get to the next place. And so that assessment allows you to take a snapshot and actually have an experience with one of our frame of mind coaches so that you can develop a plan and identify what it is you need to do to get to the next place.
That is awesome. Well, Kim Addis, I really do appreciate you taking the time to come on the show. You're way up in Canada.
Yes, Toronto.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to come on the show, and I wish you the best of luck. And I have no doubt that you are successful right now, but you're going to have greater success because your story and your message is amazing.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Kim.
Thanks for listening to CJ Evolution. Be sure to head over to iTunes and rate and review the podcast, and reach out to Patrick on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Anchor, or Snapchat. We'll see you next time on CJ Evolution.